The Man in Line with Beth Espy.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the first Man in Line of the week here on Manx Radio. Beth looking after things just for today and tomorrow while Andy's away. Whatever you'd like to talk about, we'd love to talk to you. 166 177. If you'd like to text anything in, you can email studio@manxradio.com, or better still, 66 13 68 is the number to call. There's been a lot happening so far today. The Chamber of Commerce warning that that increase to minimum wage could trigger what they describe as a national economic crisis. There's been some reaction to that from the Treasury Minister. An island resident says she's glad her post warning other people about that raised metal with a sharp edge has happened and hopefully avoided a costly accident before Christmas. Or perhaps you'd like to talk about something else entirely. Whatever it is, we would love to talk to you. We can go, first of all, to the lines, though, now and join Peter Murcott this afternoon. Good afternoon, Peter. How are you?
Oh, hello. That sounds remarkably like Beth Espy.
Well, it is. Yes, well done.
It is. And I remember you interviewing me in times past. Yes. I'm very well. Thank you very much. I just want to talk about... I want to pick up on... a phrase that's entered into the discussion on the Manx Education Bill, where their aim is to try and bring to the children religious literacy. I'm not sure what that is. It sounds awfully vague. But I want to talk about biblical literacy, which is much more issue-specific. Not particularly about the bill, because I did talk about that last time, and my opposition to it is, I should think, has been noted, as to what it wants to do to the religious education syllabi. I wanted just to talk about the season of goodwill. And every time we come to the Christmas season, we have an outburst of artistic representations of what actually happened. And they stray rather wildly from what the truth is. They will show these beautiful stable scenes showing shepherds kneeling down at the Christ child, and the wise men gathered around as well, camels and all, or they show the camels heading straight for a representation at the stable with the star duly shining over the stable. Now, that is actually quite wrong. It isn't biblical. The wise men came a couple of years later. They didn't come to a stable. It's very clear from Matthew 2, about verse 11, it says they came to a house. It doesn't even say that Joseph was there, and there were certainly no shepherds, and the Christ child would have been about 2 years old or thereabouts. So it was. It's quite nonsense. But I do think that every year it's necessary to correct this, because a lot of people get that wrong. And I feel even more strongly that if the church doesn't put out the correct version, then people who don't particularly have a Christian belief could quite rightly say, after reading the Bible, well, if they get this wrong, or if they don't put it right, what else do they get wrong? I mean, it's so basic that it should be put in the right way. So what I've done, I've written a booklet on it, and it's called No, They Didn't. And if anybody wants a copy, it's just 11 pages. It goes through it, explains exactly what did happen according to the scriptures. And if they wanted to ring me or write to me or call me or whatever, I'll let them have one.
Okay, Peter. And I suppose we should say, you mean you talk about the getting it right in the scriptures. Where did you get the information to put this booklet together from?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, I'll tell you how I did it, Beth. We sat, we just went through, we looked at the scriptures. The birth of Christ is recounted only in two of the Gospels. That's Matthew and Luke. Luke tells it from the point of view of Mary. Matthew tells it from the point of view of Joseph. We followed the accounts and made a timeline, which, of course, is rather critical to all this. And this is the bit that people haven't done before. And when you looked at the timeline of it, you found that the idea of not only doesn't it does not say in the scriptures that the wise men came to the stable along with the shepherds. That is not there. Similarly, when you look at the timeline, it couldn't possibly have happened. And so all the artistic and all the crib scenes that sometimes you see, and quite a number of the nativity plays that are produced, if they bring that in, they're completely wrong. And it's impossible virtually to correct it after so long, but at least I can have a try. And that's what I call biblical literacy.
All right, Peter.
Now, if anyone wants to ring me, I can give you my telephone number. There's no secret where I am. I'm in the directory anyway. It's 611483. If they want to give me a ring, just ring that, 611483. And if they want to call by, I've lived here for 35 years, and that's at 8 Selborne Drive in Douglas. I've no intentions of moving from here. In any way, there's a person who used to work for Max Radio who'd be most concerned if I did, and he's probably listening today. So that's it, really, Beth.
All right, Peter. Thank you very much indeed. Lovely to talk to you as ever.
Okay, thank
All
you.
Right.
Bye-bye,
Take
then.
Care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That was Peter Murcott there. 66 13 68 is the number to call if you'd like to talk about anything at all on the air this afternoon. Let's go back to the lines now and join Julian again here. Hello, Julian. How are you?
I'm good, Beth. It's a lovely day out there now, actually, isn't it?
Yeah, it's quite bright, although it's a little bit windy up here on Douglas Head, but probably won't go into wind power, or perhaps we will talk wind power. I don't know. What's on your mind, Julian?
Well, yeah, I think DOIs needs to get out. Half the roads are falling to bits at the moment. There's all sorts of edges around drains, and it's not just the ones on the Braddon Road that's actually having construction. I've seen several of them that are jutting out above the surface now because all the water's getting through and destroying the tarmac. So I think the DOI is going to be busy here, I think, in the next couple of days.
Yeah, I think so. Those weather warnings, definitely. What's on your mind?
At the end of Friday's Man in Line, you read out an interesting text, and I'll quote from it. We need to diversify from fossil fuels with war coming up. And last year, there was more investment in renewable energy than fossil fuels worldwide. Well, that's true. The International Energy Agency expects investments in renewables to increase massively compared to investments in oil, gas and nuclear. But hang on a minute, Beth. The vast amount of money that's already been thrown at renewables, and we're talking like 12,000 plus wind turbines just in the UK, you look at worldwide, that's only resulted in 2% of worldwide total energy demand is being supplied by renewables.
And where did you get, sorry, Julian, where did you get that figure from?
There's several. You've got the Energy Institute, you've got Our World in Data, and you have EMBER, who are a non-profit that analyse worldwide energy usage around the world. So you've got three of the biggest guys there that are all saying this. And that proportion is slowing down now despite increasing that investment, and it's due to several factors. So you've got exponentially increasing warranty repair claims. As the turbines are getting bigger, you're getting problems with engineering. You're sort of getting towards Formula One car instead of standard car. You know, things are breaking easier as you're getting blades that are a football field long, and they're putting so many stresses, you know, where they bolt into the nacelle. You've got more expensive litigation as local authorities are trying to stop inappropriate installation of wind farms. And I noticed that it's not just the Isle of Man, but the UK government is trying to change legislation to override local authority planning appeals, throwing the local obstacles out the way so that it becomes cheaper and easier to put in wind farms without local people sort of objecting to it. And you've also got the realization now that these intermittent renewables, as you know, the wind and the sun aren't around all the time, they are going to require outrageously expensive and unrealistic storage solutions like batteries and pumped hydro to maintain our base load 24/7, so you can flip on the lights or your whatever whenever you want to. He also mentioned in the text that war is coming up. I don't know how he knows that for certain, but if if it's about energy self-independence and security, well, we've lost a lot of our independence already. I mean, it's been said recently that we've only got 6% of our food security now on the island. And lots of items that we buy or use are now made in China, who is an ally of Russia, and both of them are in the BRICS nations. And if we're talking about security, well, if we're going to have an interconnector, that can just as easily be severed. I mean, I believe there are several nations that have kind of like undercover trawlers that have specialist cutting equipment. So if we become dependent on a cable, I don't know how secure that's going to be. And, you know, a lot of the components that are made for these wind turbines and solar panels, I mean, where do they come from, Beth?
I don't know. Do you know?
Well, you've got India, you've got China. I mean, we've lost all our primary steel manufacturing now. So if, let's suppose there was a war with Russia. Well, if one of their main allies is China and we need spares for, say, I don't know, a wind turbine blade flies off and breaks, or the gearbox components need replacing, or, you know, something like that. If we're dependent completely on things like intermittent renewables, where are we going to get the spare parts from? Because we can't even make them ourselves now, because China, Turkey, India are primarily making all the primary steel now around the world. By the way, the fact that when we get our steel imported now, if you total up all the emissions from exporting our ability to make it, it's actually 25% more emissions now than it was when we made it ourselves. You know, like Sheffield Steel and the Tata-owned ones that have all disappeared now. So it's actually emitting more in the world than it was before. So it's kind of a conundrum, isn't it, Beth?
Well, certainly the way you present it there, I guess, Julian, but the reality is, isn't it, that we need to have some vision about our energy future. We know that things like fossil fuels and whatever are not inexhaustible. And so it's just, you know, what in your mind, I suppose, if you can keep it brief, it would be the ideal solution.
Well, the argument is not that they're inexhaustible. The argument is that CO2 is bad, therefore we have to go headlong into using stuff that was, I mean, you know, wind farms were discounted in the 1930s because of the same problem. You can go a whole month with hardly any wind.
Not here, you don't, I don't think.
From?
No,
well,
it's a, yeah.
We had 10, 11 days, didn't we? Was it in May where there was literally no wind whatsoever? So 11 days is an awful lot of electricity that we need to use. And batteries are, I mean, you know, a tiny amount of electricity that just for a couple of hours to keep the island going would cost, you know, the same as a complete new, brand new power station for 2 hours, whereas the power station would give you 40 years. So batteries are not a solution. Putting up 1,000-foot high sets of West Bulwyn reservoirs sounds expensive and not particularly eco-friendly. And there is no alternative. I mean, you know, hydrogen is extremely difficult to make and requires more energy to make it than you get out of it. So you might as well just use the gas in the first place. So there's no clear path. I mean, yeah, you said the other day about we have to have a clear path for the island by sticking with this Climate Change Act, which, of course, tomorrow Stu Peters is going to ask for an amendment on that. Well, where are we going to get our power from when there's no sun and no wind? Because there is no clear answer to that. So, you know, the big idea is that we're going to have this renewables. How are you going to live in a modern society? Or are we going to go something like, you know, a country that has almost no electricity at all? Or we're going to end up with rationing or
whatever? All right,
then you've got all...
Yep. Sorry, Julian. We have got somebody else waiting on the line. But lovely to talk to you as ever. Thank you so much for getting in touch.
Thanks, Beth.
All right.
Cheers.
That was Julian there. Thank you so much for all your texts and emails so far as well. We will get to as many of those as we can. Gary just very quickly says, in recent years, the Isle of Man government seems to be becoming increasingly geared towards producing many more reviews, consultations and reports. Yet another consultation, this time concerning the first time buyer scheme, is now being run despite years of discussion concerning housing. Politicians and chief officers seem to have become comfortable with the inertia that has been introduced within government and don't seem to be particularly concerned about what has actually been delivered. That's talking about the review of those schemes. We heard from the Infrastructure Minister, Dr. Michelle Hayward, on Breakfast this morning. So this consultation is running until the 15th of January, seeking views on a range of planned amendments, which are, according to government, aimed at improving affordability and accessibility to those looking to buy their first home. And changes mooted include adjusting the thresholds, discounted prices to reflect changes to the economic data, and also the introduction of index linking to income thresholds. So, as I say, the closing date for submissions to that is the 15th of January. You can find a link to the consultation on the story on the Manx Radio website. Jeff has been in touch. He was listening to what Peter Murcott was saying, and Jeff says, I agree, they must continue to update the Bible teachings, otherwise they will get the teachings wrong. Fran has been in touch about the Chamber of Commerce, which, again, we heard about this morning on the news, and essentially they are saying that that increase to minimum wage, that 9.9% increase set to come into effect in April, will, in their words, represent a national crisis. Fran says the Chamber trade is spot on. It shows that not one MHK has any business sense or has run a retail outlet or pub or a hospitality business. This truly, says Fran, is the most inept, out of touch with the real world government in history. I just hope none of the current crop of MHKs have any intention of standing for re-election. Adding to that list of failed overpriced contracts, Douglas Promenade, Liverpool Terminal, Summerhill View, the Manxman, and now the Seawall in Douglas. What a shambolic bunch, according to Fran. Let's take a little breather now.
The Extradition Bill 2025 is making its way through the legislative process, and for all but a handful of people, its impact on our lives will be minimal. So why do we need this legislation? Well, according to the notes on the bill, no one should be able to escape justice simply by crossing a border. In other news, the electricity interconnector is 25 years old, and during its life, 25 billion units of electricity have been exported to the UK, providing the MUA with an £80 million profit. Find out more on both issues on Agenda this evening at 5:30 p.m. on Manx Radio with me, Phil Gorn. Exporting electricity and criminals? Some good news at last.
Oh, blowing a hoolie out there.
Come in for a bravig by the fire. Just stocked up at Hearth. Never been so warm.
Who's that? Hearth?
Aye, they've got kiln-dried hardwood for me log burner. Colombian coal and smokeless ovals for the open fire, kindling and firelighters, all delivered. Great value too.
All goes up the chimney anyway, so I pay more. I'll be giving Hearth a call.
Check their website as well. Just order and they deliver.
For all your fire fuel needs, call Hearth on 560 577 or visit hearth.co.com.
Manx Memorials in Ballasalla will guide you when creating beautiful lasting memorials across the island. From a wide range of granite and marble headstones, custom inscriptions, expert renovations and pet memorials, adding care and compassion in every detail, we offer families peace of mind for years with perpetual grave care. We're there when you need them most. Call 843 861 or email matthew@manxmemorials.co.uk.
Feeling the winter lull? Get your glow back at Tracy Bell. With winter offers now on for her, for him, and for couples or friends who fancy a lift together. Visit the Tracy Bell website and simply click on the winter offers button on the front page. Tracy Bell, helping you to be better.
Right, short Christmas ad, take one.
Here, did you know? This Christmas, right? If you bundle your mobile and broadband plans together with Shaw, you can save hundreds of pounds. You'll also get an M&S voucher up to £200. And you can't argue with that, can you?
Sorry, you might have misheard me. They're looking for a plain voice, not a cane.
Make sure of your Christmas in store or online at Shaw.com. T's and C's apply, mind.
Your Christmas station, Manx Radio.
The Man in Line with Beth Espy.
We're here until about 1 o'clock. 66 13 68 is the number to call if you'd like to get in touch. Ben, who has a very interesting surname, not going to fall for that one this time, says, we all need to remember it's Christmas time. No matter how bad everything is, we can forget about it all and just enjoy some time with our families. Des also says, in caps, Merry Christmas, everybody. Si says, if we can't get parts for wind turbines, where will the Isle of Man get power from? That's Julian's logic, according to Simon, out of the window. I would like to spread the word about The Dimming, says CC, a film about climate control with some very eye-opening and interesting information content as the link to geoengineering. It's amazing. Sai says, no wind, so use gas while there's no wind. It's very simple. Does it really matter, asked Texter Enning 840, when the wise men turned up? The Bible is a storybook. The Nativity is a lovely story that we've known all our lives with the archangel, the shepherds and the three wise men, so don't spoil it. And Texter Enning 313 says, given that the Douglas seawall defences have already failed at the beginning of the winter, how much confidence should people have in wind turbines being constructed properly? And another text running 328, I think Mr. Murcott is being a little pedantic. We don't want the three wise men left out. It's indicated they came later and they wouldn't get a show on their own. We let their beautiful act in. Just following on from something we were talking about last week, David's been in touch to say, I contacted after the caller on Friday talking about the Age Concern lunch. I still haven't been contacted by Age Concern after leaving a message on their website. There's nothing about the event being cancelled on their website or on the Facebook page. After asking around, I found out that volunteers were hoping to help out themselves. They'd had premises booked and staff willing to attend, so how was it out of their control? This is referring to the call from Beastie talking about the Christmas lunch that was happening at Ramsey Courthouse on Christmas Day for those who might otherwise be spending Christmas on their own. And unfortunately, Age Concern say because of unforeseen circumstances, they've had to cancel that. Apparently, says David, some people have been invited to a private event instead on the 23rd. I haven't, but this does nothing for eating alone on the big day itself, as I will be. The management of Age Concern have some questions to answer. And Carol says, I listened to the Chief Minister's interview with the Manx Radio following his attendance at the British-Irish Council Summit. He said he told them about our heritage railways. I wonder if he was transparent and informed them of the shameful travesty surrounding the horse trams since 2017. Well, let's just bring you a little bit more about the story we've been running this morning. And there is a breakdown and recovery business on the Isle of Man. It's Manx Automobile Assistance, who say they were called out eight times over the weekend to Braddon Road. So what's happened is a number of motorists have reportedly hit a piece of raised metal there. And one of them, Claire Losh, posted about it on Facebook last night. She said she was left with two flat tyres. The contractor we have been in touch with, Paul Carey and Sons, they have declined to comment. And this motorist, who asked to remain anonymous, says he drives through the road around four or five times in the week.
So I have to go through there incredibly slowly. I've got a Mercedes that's got very low profile tyres. I even saw last night that somebody put a post up on Facebook saying they've got their tyre. I thought, oh my God, I better take extra caution because I'm going up there this evening to pick my wife up. So so I did take extra precaution. And the very, very last manhole cover before you go out towards Nobles, I went over it very slowly and then suddenly bang, and I could hear it. I even went a slightly different angle than normal because I thought, well, I'll try and clear it. If I go over nice and evenly, it'll be fine. But and then by the time I got to Nobles, the tyre thing on the dashboard went run flat, come up, and it said, look, you know, your tyre's going down. So I managed to get back to where I live very quickly. And yes, not ideal. So yes, I've emailed the company who's doing the construction and I've emailed the DOI as well, just to make sure. I did get an email back this morning from the company who are doing the construction, so just to say that they'd be in touch. But yeah, that's as far as it's got, so not ideal really. Whether the rain had washed out the tarmac, but the thing is, you'd expect it to be in such a way, because I think they built the tarmac up to sort of smooth off the edges of the raised manholes. But the trouble is with that is that the amount of traffic that goes through there every day, that will fail at some stage. And obviously just happened to be Sunday it failed, which unfortunately there's been quite a few people.
How does this set you back ahead of the festive season?
The thing is, I still have to take my wife to Nobles every day. So it's that's going to be a cab now. So she's until I can get this car sorted out. So if it's a tyre, it'd be dealt with today. But if it's an alloy, I've got a funny feeling it's going to be at least a couple of weeks before I can get that organised, because getting parts for this car on this island is very difficult. I've been here a year now and I absolutely adore the place. It's a wonderful place. But I came from Wales, and in Wales, the roads are super smooth. There's a massive difference. The only thing I can compare it to is Kent. And Kent in the southern part of the UK, that's just the same. It's the amount of traffic that goes over the roads. And everyone keeps digging it up and moving things and putting new pipes down. But here, I didn't expect it over here, to be honest. But yeah, you do get some roads, you're thinking, my word, you know, these are bad, you know, but I suppose, you know, it's money, isn't it? I suppose money's got to come in to pay to get them repaired. But as long as it gets resolved properly and people get, get the damage paid, it's not a problem. But if it had been the government's road and it had happened, there'd be a process to claim and you'd be paid out, I'd have thought. But, you know, I'm just hoping this company is going to be honourable about it. I think that's quite important. It'd send a big message out to the island if they weren't.
That is a motorist who was called out about that raised metal on the Braddon Road. As I say, we have been in touch with the contractor, Paul Carey and Sons. They have declined to comment on this. We did also ask the DOI about it, but obviously it wasn't their contractor, wasn't their project. And we have also gone to the developer who hired the contractor as well. So hopefully that one will be sorted out. Some more of your texts and emails now. H says, most people know the Christmas story isn't literally true. It's a nice story that people like to pretend is true because it fits the feeling of Christmas. It's a story told to children just like any other fairy tale. Same with the Old Testament story, says H. Christmas used to be a pagan festival under a different name, and Jesus wasn't a Christian, he was a Jew. Most of the Bible is made up of stories written years later by various scribes and has been translated from various languages and embellished by different cultures. It should not be taught as truth, says H. Secondary school children need to be taught the facts about how Christianity sits alongside other religions, which are equally true to those who follow them. Sadly, children are still indoctrinated into some faiths from birth because their parents belong to a particular faith. They need unbiased information to be able to make their own decisions and to realise the impact various religions have had on the world. That's what education should be. Des says, don't let the truth become between you and a good story. Andy says, on social media recently, there was a post allegedly from Stu Peters about moving away. Was that true? Don't know, Andy. We'd have to wait and hear from Stu on that one. Text of 004, not really impressed with what Peter Murcott had to say a little bit earlier. Let's go to the lines, though, now. And we can join Howard. Good afternoon, Howard. How are you?
Hiya, Beth. Fine, thanks.
Good.
I've just come in the house, actually. That road you're talking about up through to... I've just been up to Palatine Clinic, and it's expected that you're going to get disruption. It's only a narrow road at the best of times. And in all honesty, I don't know why they're going to put an entrance there and not entrance exit. That's going to be mayhem coming out alongside the old cemetery. But... one thing that struck me when that chap was talking about the amount of traffic that's on the island, well, on the island you've got to have a vehicle because the bus services are abysmal. And this stems and goes back quite a number of years when they decided that they were going to take over the school runs.
Okay, Howard, I'll just probably just come in there to say we haven't got Bus Fannin to answer assertion. But some people do rely on the bus service and do say it's very good. So this is in your opinion, but carry on.
In my opinion, well, as Andy would always say, this is an opinion programme.
It is.
But having said that, the bus service, they were then taking over the school runs, which would take a lot of their buses out of the circulation at different times of the day, the morning, which would be the busy, the afternoons, which would be busy, which destroyed virtually the private companies who were doing the work on behalf of the schools and the education and took it all in-house. So we don't have the coaches and the vehicles outside of Bus Vannin to cover the collection and distribution of the children from the schools. So parents have got to have their cars now to take their children to school and back from school because there is no private vehicles. They're all run by the buses, which in turn depletes the bus service for the general public.
Okay. I mean, you do see school children on the buses in the morning, Howard, and you know what? The big problem is that often you see some routes which aren't supported at all. And I know Busvanen do change their timetables fairly regularly to try and keep up with what is going to be working best for their customers.
But there again, Busvanen will be sitting down and writing out and working out their routes and the availability of vehicles and drivers, which is very important. But a lot of this was done by private enterprise, and that was decimated by Busvanen. And they tried to do the same with the taxis. And that is one of the causes that people will not give up their cars. And as I say, I've just been up there now, and the traffic was from the lights on the just on the downside of the cemetery, right up past the roundabout at the top. I know it's not a huge amount, but it's one of these things, and I can't understand how they're allowing. I see there's traffic islands being put there in the middle of that road, little pedestrian crosses by the looks of it. But again, that's going to narrow that road down quite considerably. So there doesn't seem to be an awful lot of thought gone into anything there. But the fact that the Busvanen took all the work off the bus, the coach services, and they went to the wall. All right, there's one company come in now and bought it, but there were bus services doing all the work for the schools, and then they took it off them. And that's, again, is another government monopoly.
All right, Howard. Thank you very much indeed for calling. Lovely to talk to you as ever. Take care. Have a lovely afternoon.
Take care.
Bye-bye. That was Howard there. Paul has been in touch just about those roadworks around Braddon. He said the roadworks there have warning signs up about raised lids on drains. You can easily go around them. I do in a large lorry. There are also other ways to get to the hospital. Ian says, I've no doubt Peter is correct. This is talking about Peter Murcott, who called at the start of the programme. I remember watching an old Western movie some years ago when a newspaper editor said, if the legend fits the narrative, print the legend. This is how I feel about the nativity. We've grown up with it and I see no need to change it now. That is from Ian. Texter Enning 011 says, an easy way for an MHK to make easy money, let the public decide. And Texter Enning 762, why aren't the DOI many chair-bound bosses up at Braddon Road sorting out any issues? You can't solve problems hidden behind a laptop. It's not their project there, is it? It's a developer who is working up there. So that's why that is not falling under the DOI. There is a message here from Texter Enning 623. This is from James H, who's living in Cloud Cuckoo Land. Please say happy Christmas to all MHKs. I hope they enjoy their big lunches while the poorer end of the scale eats sandwiches. That is from Anna. And if Howard thinks our bus service is abysmal, then he really needs to go to the UK or anywhere else in the world, says Dave. Also, the road at Braddon has been widened to accommodate the new pedestrian islands. 166 177, or studio at manxradio.com if you'd like to send in a message, or 66 13 68 if you'd like to have a chat on air.
Construction waste today.
Tells recycle for another day.
A builder skip or two.
Tells skip from Britain to you.
From cardboard to green waste.
Tells recycle.
Metals and plastics too.
Tells skips are right for you.
Skips are what they do.
We're the guys that hire one to you.
Call Tells Skips today.
677 137.
Ho ho ho! Happy Christmas!
Dear Santa, this Christmas I would like more customers and more sales, please. I have been very good.
There are more reliable ways to make sure your business gets what it needs this winter. At Manx Radio, we'll create tailor-made advertising solutions to get you the results you want over the festive season and into the new year. Call our friendly sales team now on 682620 and give your business a really happy Christmas and New Year with the nation's station, Manx Radio.
Can I have a new bike too?
No, buy your own.
Oh,
you've worked hard all morning in IT, doing computery things, or in retail, assisting ungrateful customers, or doing whatever it is you lovely people do. But now, it's lunchtime, and you, my friend, deserve something special from Smash and Fry. Take your lunch to a new level with our delicious pizzas, fried chicken, smash burgers, and milkshakes. Lunchtime is your time. Visit Smash and Fry, Duke Street, Douglas. You deserve it.
Isle of Man Railways.
Jump on board
board for a first Noel brunch. Our shared Noel Fireman Shovel brunch gives you a little bit of everything to enjoy. Friends and family will love a seasonal first Noel brunch while relaxing and watching stunning countryside views go by. Running on Monday the 22nd and Sunday the 28th of December, it's just £37 per person for a hearty brunch and return travel. Book now at rail.in.
When the man in line's not on air, call Manx Radio to leave your opinion for broadcast on 682 631. The Man in Line with Beth Espy.
I had to get caught out by one of them, didn't I? 12:40 here on the Man in Line. Let's go back to the lines now and join Martin Perkins. Martin, lovely to talk to you. How are you doing?
Oh, very well, thanks, Beth. Thanks for having me on. I was just listening to the Man in Line there, and there was a lady on listing stuff that they're not happy about, that people aren't happy about, all sorts of things. And just picking up on Stu Peters' referendum at the next election on our climate change targets, I really think it's a good idea, because it will help the politicians that get elected into discovering exactly what the public think about climate change. Because you listen to the public and you get the ultra-right-wing people that are dead against any targets or anything, and then you get the Greens that are absolutely all for it, and it's the leading light that we must follow. And the public is somewhere in the middle. And I think that if we use the opportunity of the general election to have a referendum, it will give a clear path for the next administration in that regard, because it's going to be one of the big ticket items for next the next administration.
Well, Martin, obviously, with your background, you were an MHK, you're also a commissioner as well. I suppose the argument against this is, if we vote in our MHKs to make those decisions on our behalf, and yet with every big decision that they have to make, they have to come to the public for a consultation, nothing will get done.
Well, just correct me there, I wasn't a commissioner, but I was an MHK. But you're absolutely right. And of course, the Swiss administration, if you look at the Swiss political system, they have lots of referenda on all sorts of things. But I don't advocate that at all. What I'm saying is that this is very important to the island going forward. We are going to be strapped for cash, and we do have to decide very clinically what we put our money towards. And it is taxpayers' money, after all. At the end of the day, I feel that they should have a say.
Are you going to be standing again next year, Martin?
That's a $64,000 question. I'm going to make a decision in February. I've got quite a lot on at the moment. And I do miss the rough and tumble of the Tynwald Court and the House of Keys. But it is a big commitment. And we are going to go through some very, very serious challenges. And I think the island, we need a wake-up call. We've lost a lot of jobs from the internet gambling and what have you, gaming. And I think it is going to be a very critical election. And I just hope the public can see through a lot of the flannel that some of the prospective MHKs will put forward.
So if you were in the House of Keys and the issue of net zero came up and you had to make a decision as it stands, would your feeling be that actually that's not the priority now, given everything else you've just mentioned?
Well, I really believe that in this next administration, the public is going to have to decide what the priorities are. Do we want a good health service? Do we want education? Do we want housing? How seriously do we take the carbon reduction? And all these things are very important. And it's like somebody running a household. You have to decide what your budget can do for you. And what are your top priorities?
Well, Martin Perkins, thank you very much indeed. We shall await February and see what your decision is.
Thank you, Beth. All the best. Bye-bye.
Take care. That is Martin Perkins there. John's been in touch to say, just listening to Howard about the buses, I normally agree with his opinions, full of common sense. As a Peel resident, says John, I find the bus coverage excellent. Regular services to Douglas in the hospital, Ramsey and now to the south. Go Silver is great for us pensioners too. Do not knock it just because you live in Douglas. David says, regarding the nativity discussion, I do a lot of nativity cribs, etc. Set them up around the Ironton churches. Maybe Peter should start with them regarding the issues that he has. Eric says, with regard to buses, still no mobility scooters, just empty promises, now entering its seventh year with no movement. And Jeff says, I don't believe in any religion, but I would rather be living in a Christian country. And that is Jeff's opinion there. Just some other messages here on WhatsApp, which you're going to find us on 07624 166 177. Paulie actually messaged to say, still waiting for the next caller that's waiting on the line when you cut Julian off. There was actually somebody on the phone. What happens sometimes is that people phone up, just leave a message to give to Chris rather than want to go on air. But I can see those calls lighting up here. Can Julian talk about sea turbines? Why shouldn't the Isle of Man have those? Asks Andy. Nick wants to know which of the over 300 translations and rewrites is Peter getting his biblical truth from? How does he know for certain the ones he's looked at are the actual events? And Steve wants the details for Peter. We can certainly get those to you. Steve says the right-wing media and lobby groups swung public opinion in favour of the Brexit referendum vote, now widely accepted as a complete disaster for UK economics. We do not need the same handful of right-wing climate change deniers trying to influence the public over here in the Isle of Man. OK, that's about all the texts and emails that we have so far. Still around 10 minutes or so if you'd like to have a chat on air about anything. 66 13 68 is the number to call. And Chris, waiting just to speak to you before you go on air. But let's just go to one of the main news stories we've been hearing about this morning. And this is the Chamber of Commerce claiming the 9.9% minimum wage increase set to come into effect in April represents, in their word, a national crisis. The business organisation says it will have a devastating impact on the island's economy that could cause job losses and business closures on a scale not seen, they say, since the COVID pandemic. Sean Cowper reports on this.
In an open letter to the Council of Ministers, all members of Tynwald and the media, the Chamber is urging government to pause and review the proposed increase and reassess its economic, fiscal and employment impacts. Chamber President Claire Watterson said Chamber and the wider business community have been warning about the impact of such a big increase for over a year. Without intervention, this increase risks doing the opposite of what is intended. Instead of helping low-paid workers, it could lead to many of them losing their jobs. The challenge is now to set up a wage rate that protects the livelihoods of employees while keeping businesses open.
In terms of their asks, as I've said, we have paused, we have reflected, we have changed position over the last 18 months. This, you're quite right, in October, Tynwald, this was passed. The bit of legislation, because the minimum wage is a statutory payment, was passed by Tynwald. Government have obviously responded to that, and we are going along with the will of Tynwald, which dates back to the Poverty Committee. It's absolutely right that the people who are working on this island get a decent wage. One of the issues that Treasury has been struggling with is working people's poverty, and we know you've previously done interviews with the food bank, and quite a few of the people there are still working but not earning enough to actually provide for their families. It's absolutely right that we have the ability on this island to give people a decent wage for a decent day's work. And I think that's what all of us want. The Chamber of Commerce have some doubts about how we get there. But again, it's been one of the main policies of this administration to try to increase the standard of living for all people working here, whether they're on high wages or relatively low wages.
That's the Treasury Minister, Dr. Alex Allenson, responding to the comments. So you can read in full on the Manx Radio website just about what the Chamber of Commerce believes is going to be the impact of that minimum wage increase. We did already also hear from the Local Economy Forum on this, also asking government to rethink its approach to minimum wage. And actually, we can go to the lines and join Chris Robertshaw now. Good afternoon, Chris.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I think your listeners need to see past what the Treasury Minister is saying. He quite rightly, and we would support him in this, it's important to see lower paid people paid as much as possible. But the Local Economy Forum proposals result in the lower paid getting more pay in their pockets than the government proposal. And the whole thing hangs on the fact, and I'm sure people don't appreciate this, that the increase, that about 40% of the increased cost to businesses because of the government's proposal is returned to government in terms of tax and insurance. And the Local Economy Forum have been very careful to consider both the impact on business and the impact on lower paid employees, and have come out with a proposal which protects both. In other words, it does this by saying it's about time the government reduced the tax take from the lowest paid. And if I can just make one point, lower paid people in the art, everybody, but it hits the lower paid particularly because national insurance contributions in the Isle of Man for the employee are at 11% once you've earned £8,000 a year. And in the UK, the amount of tax deduction in the form of NI in the UK is 8%, and it doesn't kick in till about 12,000 something or other. So we've got a real problem here. The government are pretending that they're protecting the lower paid, when in reality what they're doing is pushing more and more money into tax and insurance. And they really need to be honest about this. They're pretending. It's a pretense, Beth, and it's very, very disappointing that they're doing so. If I can just change the subject and add to the discussion that's been on today about the future of our energy strategy. Again, I don't think people appreciate that our current energy security strategy has already fallen down. And all one needs to do to understand this is refer to the Environment Infrastructure Policy Review Committee session with the MU. And when the committee asked, how are things going with the new interconnector? They said, oh, well, when this all started, the cost of an interconnector would be 100 million. It's now 200 million and north of that, and it's impossibly expensive. So you remove the extra interconnector, the whole energy strategy falls down. And what we need to do, as you've said, I think earlier on you posed a question, what are we going to do? Well, whatever we do, Beth, we have to cost before we start pressing buttons about principle. Ultimately, and in the end, it'll be important that the Isle of Man goes green, but it mustn't sacrifice the enthusiasm for that in the short term to lose our economic well-being. In the end, there are going to be ways of producing reliable green energy. But what we need to do is just pause a little bit and wait for those things to come on stream, because they will. Because in isolation, solar and wind energy, because it's intermittent, is not ultimately the answer. It makes people feel good, but it doesn't deliver what we need.
All right, Chris.
Those are my 2 points.
Thank you so much indeed. That is Chris Robertshaw, who is the chair of the Local Economy Forum, also a former MHK. We're just going to go because we have got somebody else on the line. But Chris, thank you very much indeed for calling in this lunchtime. And just finally, we can go and join Mike on line two. Good afternoon, Mike. How are you?
Hi, Beth. Just very quickly about the gentleman messaging about Brexit. Brexit really annoys me. It was the right decision to leave, but we didn't get what we were promised by the politicians. In my opinion, some of the politicians should have been done for treason, but that's another thing. In the early 70s, my parents voted in a referendum to join the common market to make trade easier, which is great. The EU is still trying to remove individual countries to establish a non-elected state of Europe. United States of Europe is what they're all about, controlling all countries. So we have no say, or rather England would have no say, my country of my birth. So really, Brexit should be put in as was promised, if that makes sense.
I suppose the problem that some people have over here, Mike, is the fact that actually we didn't have a vote for Brexit either, did we? We weren't able to have our say here.
No, but then again, we weren't part of it. So we only took, under Protocol 3?
Protocol 3,
what we wanted. Yeah. So it didn't really affect us as such. The trade is the important thing, which is what the common market was. But the individual countries are all so different, they will never, ever agree. European state of Europe will be a disaster. So England needs to keep themselves separate. France does. Spain does. All the rest of the countries, because otherwise the whole massive landmass of Europe is going to be in a right mess.
All right, Mike, thank you very much indeed for getting in touch. It was lovely to talk to you.
Thank you.
All right. That was Mike there with some thoughts about Brexit and just responding to some of the comments there from Chris Robertshaw and some of the earlier messages that we had. Just a time now for a couple more emails that have come in. Sue says wage rises will go back in tax due to the tax system being out of date. So what if a climate referendum means politicians do nothing? They always find ways to do nothing, says Gaz. At least they will be doing nothing which will cost us money that we don't have. And Des says we worry about three wise men and then we think we can change the climate. I think that's pretty much all the texts and emails that we've had in today. Thank you again very much indeed for all your contributions. They are very much appreciated. And if you think of something to let us know about and we're not on air, 682-631 is the number to call. You can always leave a message on there and then we will play it out on the programme. It's a great way to get your voice, your opinions, because as was mentioned a little bit earlier, this is an opinion programme. It's what it's all about. It doesn't work without you and your thoughts. So we always welcome you getting in touch. Chris has been producing today's programme. As ever, thank you so much to him. Coming up next, it is 1 to 3. Then Alex will be here at 3 with the afternoon show. Dave Moore is looking after Update this evening. And then it is Agenda with Phil. Of course, we're looking ahead to the December sitting of Tynwald. That all gets underway tomorrow, starting as ever with the questions. And then we will have that net zero debate coming up during this Tynwald session. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with that one. So Christy Dear is up next. Whatever you're doing this afternoon, have a great one, and we'll talk to you again soon.